You are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441 just north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. Today, lead pastor John Hampton will be delivering our Christmas Eve message, giving us insights into how things really changed over 2,000 years ago when a man came to save us. Not just a man, not just a system, and not a religion. Heaven truly came to earth in the form of Jesus. Our scripture text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 20. Today's message is entitled, All God's Promises Are Yes in Christ Jesus.
When you got up this morning, you took a look at your cell phone or your computer screen, maybe even looked at a newspaper, and you saw a dateline was there. And that dateline read December 24th, 2015. Now, we don't think about this a lot, but 2015 years from what? Well, from the birth of a baby named Jesus. You can't look at a cell phone or open a newspaper. You can't see a dateline without being reminded of the birth of this unique and special person that we've come here today to honor and celebrate. Here's another way to consider the impact of the life of Jesus. Did you know there are 32 towns or cities in the United States named Bethlehem? There's a St. Joseph, Louisiana. There's a St. Mary, Nebraska, a Galilee, Arkansas, a Nazareth, Pennsylvania, a Calvary, Wisconsin, a Trinity, North Carolina, a St. Matthews, Kentucky, a St. Mark's, Florida, a St. Luke, Virginia, a St. John, Maine, a Timothy, Illinois, a Titus, Georgia, a St. James, Minnesota, a St. Peter, Ohio. What's my point? You can't look at a map. You can't read the names and cities of towns and villages 2,000 years later on the other side of the world without being reminded not only of the birth of this baby, but of the family and friends and witnesses of this baby. You know, every year around this time, Time Magazine names its Person of the Year. And by the way, the 2015 winner of the Person of the Year is German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Now, the person of the year is an attempt to identify that one individual who had the biggest impact, who touched the most lives, who affected the world most deeply over the span of the past 12 months. And every year, everybody has nominations and everybody has guesses and everybody argues. I understand Donald Trump was pretty upset he wasn't named person of the year for life. 16 years ago, when we were about to turn our calendars over to the year 2000, Time Magazine named who it considered to be the person of the century. That's a much wider swath of time to evaluate. And there were so many candidates. And it was way, way harder to name one person who stands out over the course of a century. So I want you to right now in the student center and the atrium here in the worship center, turn to the person next to you real quick and see if you can remember, or if the person next to you can remember, who did Time Magazine name the person of the century? Go ahead, real quick. Try to figure it out there. All right. Let me say this to you. How many of you said it was Elvis Presley? If you did, you would be wrong. Albert Einstein was named. Somebody said that. I heard that in here. Somebody said Albert Einstein. It was a hard call, and not many people can even remember 16 years later who would be the person of the century, because so many people would leap to your mind. Here's what's ironic. It's hard to name even a person of the year. It's really tough to name a person of the century. But if you had to choose the name of the single person who's had the biggest impact on the history of the world since the beginning of recorded time, the one life that's touched every continent and every culture and every tribe and every language, there's just one name. And what is that name?
Jesus.
He was born 20 centuries ago to a carpenter and his teenage bride in an obscure village and in an unimportant corner of the world. Maybe a few hundred people ever met him personally. Maybe a few thousand people ever heard him speak in person. He never traveled outside of his region. He never married. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never led an army. He never governed a nation. He didn't even own a home. And yet over the next 2,000 years, that one name would inspire the founding of more universities and the creation of more hospitals and the launching of more charities and the writing of more books and the expression of more great art that name would move more people to sacrifice their finances, their possessions, their safety, their careers, even their lives than any other name in history. The instrument upon which he met his death, the cross, a horrific mode of execution, has become the most widely recognized symbol in the world. It marks more graves, graces more pieces of jewelry, tattooed on more bodies. It sets atop more buildings than any other design. The making of the cross, the sign of the cross, is known from basilicas to baseball diamonds. Finding a lasting logo has become big business, but no corporation or country or cause has ever produced such an enduring or widespread image. There's a historian at Yale University who put it like this: if it were possible with some sort of super magnet to pull up out of history every scrap of metal bearing at least a trace of his name, how much would be left? What would be left? It boggles the mind that the movement he began, he writes, isn't just remembered. It's not just studied. It's not just continued. It's growing. It is spreading on every continent, generally faster than ever before. What are the odds? What if you and I could have gone back to the night of Jesus' birth and awoken someone in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago and said, there's a little baby being born in your village tonight, and over 2,000 years later, people will be gathering around the world to remember his name, to sing his praises, to hear about his story, to honor his life. Who would have believed it? If you could have told someone that a baby's being born and 2,000 years later, at the mere anniversary of his birthday, people will take off work and cause traffic jams in London, England, and Quito, Ecuador, and Seoul, South Korea, and someplace called Apopka, Florida. Who would have believed it? But here we are. And the obvious question is why? Why do we keep coming back? What is it about this man that continues to inspire and move and haunt and captivate and entrance a planet full of people? It's because something more than human, something more than ordinary was happening in that little town of Bethlehem. That's why we're here. You see, we all have this ache for a better world inside us, don't we? Every day we see headlines of heartbreaking suffering and senseless shootings and random explosions. We even had a bomb threat at our local Walmart just down the street here this last week. We all instinctively long for something better than we experience in this present world. And God promised when he looked at the world that he created and designed for good and that got off course because of our sin, that he would repair and he would redeem and he would set right what is wrong and what's broken in this suffering world and what's wrong with you and with me. The Bible puts it like this. This verse is going to come up on the screen. Student center, here in the worship center, I want you to read this out loud with me. Let's read it out loud, shall we? All God's promises are yes in Christ Jesus. Say it one more time. All God's promises are yes in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise God ever made to human beings. That's why the most famous Christmas carol says, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Because here's what happens. We all wonder about things in this world like this. Can an anxious person find peace that you can count on? Well, not on this earth as it now stands. Has anybody noticed that our economy has been a little shaky, a little flaky lately? Stock market goes up 150 points one day, drops 300 points the next day. We've all been reminded as we're still recovering from the most recent recession that money never really made anybody secure. You can't build a life on it. We forget that at times, but you can't. I read recently someone said the safest way to double your money is to fold it over and put it in your pocket. And we all surely know that peace isn't going to come through political leaders, right? We keep waiting for some system, some party, some leader in Washington or Tallahassee, and we keep waiting and waiting and waiting for somebody to come along from anywhere and fix what's wrong with us, but they can't. And over the next 11 months, we're going to hear so many political promises, but we will see so little political progress. But lo and behold, out of all places in this world, in this little town of Bethlehem, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus left a perfection that no man can imagine to walk in a world that no man can manage. And all the troubles of this world and all the power of heaven come together in him. So can an anxious person find peace? Yes, God says, in my son Jesus Christ, because all my promises are yes in him. Can guilty people find forgiveness? Well, let me put it to you like this. Did anybody here mess up, miss the mark, have a slight moral meltdown this past year? Anybody at all? Let's just do a mass Christmas confession, can we? Because it's good for the soul. You're surrounded by people you probably don't know, may never see again, at least not till next Christmas Eve, Easter at the earliest. So you don't really care what they think. So let me just say this to you. If anybody has morally missed the mark this year, just one time, I mean, you fudged a little on something, you got a little deceptive, you got a little greedy, got a little selfish, got a little mouthy, got a little arrogant. If you've sinned at least one time this year, or if you think you had a pretty clean run, but the person next to you went south and you kind of want to help them out, would you just raise your hand real high? Raise your hand up real high. Look around here. This is a wicked bunch in here. I don't know what it's like in the student center. You need to be at a 3 o'clock Christmas Eve service. Here's the truth about us. We all carry this nagging, deep-seated guilt and this sense of regret. And we all ask ourselves questions like, why did I do that? Why do I keep doing that? Why did I say that? What's wrong with me? Friends, there's no human system, there's no idea, there's no book, there's no therapy, there's no rehab, there's no drug that can cleanse, that can pay for our sin and guilt problem. So heaven came to earth through Jesus, the perfect one. And he went to the cross and he died for our sins. That is, he paid our moral debt to a holy God that we could not pay. And God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become his righteousness. And the death of Jesus proclaims God is not mad at you. God is mad about you. On the cross of Jesus, the brokenness and sin of earth, including my sin and your sin, and the grace of mercy and mercy of heaven come together on the cross. And Jesus says, now in me and my death, you can be forgiven. No man or woman in history ever made a claim like that. No religious leader ever said, now through me, I forgive you. But Jesus did. So can guilty, broken, messed up people like me and like you and the person next to you find grace and forgiveness? Yes, God says, through my son, Jesus Christ, because all my promises are yes in him. Can discouraged people find hope? You know, some people are here today and you've lost a job this past year and you don't know when or where you're going to find another one. Some marriages have ended this year. You didn't want it to, but it did. And you wonder if you'll ever find someone else to love you. Some people here have received some really devastating news about your health this past year or the health of someone that you love. And you wonder, is this our last Christmas? Is there any real hope for people who are going through experiences like that? Well, it depends on what kind of hope you have. You see, there's a kind of hope where you're hoping for something, and then there's a kind of hope where you're putting your hope in someone. Now, when you're hoping for something, you're hoping for a specific outcome, for a particular circumstance to turn out the way you want it to. Hope I get that job. Hope I get that house. Hope I get that girl. Hope I get that girl and she gets that job and we get that house. Sometimes we hope for something even though we know it's kind of a long shot with a remote possibility of happening. Sometimes the thing we hope for kind of dies. Hope she comes back. Hope it's not cancer. Hope we don't lose him. But one day, and here's a truth that we don't like to acknowledge, everything we hope for will eventually disappoint us. Every circumstance, every situation that we're hoping for is going to wear out, give up, give in, fall apart, melt down, or go away. When that happens, the question then becomes about a deeper hope, about a more foundational hope that you'll fall back on when all your other hopes are crushed. And here's an important question. When you've lost the something you were hoping for, is there someone you can put your hope in? And God says, yes, discouraged people can find hope in Jesus because all my promises are yes in Christ Jesus. In an empty tomb, a stone got rolled away and all the despair and all the death and all the sadness of earth and all the life and hope of heaven come together in that empty tomb. And Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Again, no human being ever said that. One final thing. That's very unique about Jesus. It's not just that heaven came to earth in an abstract, impersonal sort of way. It comes to you and me personally. You see, part of what's unique about Jesus is that his presence always has a way of bringing people to a personal decision once they know about him. The message of Jesus is not just dispensing irrelevant information. It's not just an exchange of interesting ideas for people to talk about and debate. It's not just a heartwarming story that we walk away from once a year and feel good about for a while and then forget about. The message of Jesus always carries a decision with it. There's always a yes or no when we hear the message of Jesus. It's always been this way with Christ. You think about this, from the very beginning of his arrival on earth, God comes to a young woman named Mary. Mary, you can be part of my story. Mary, yes or no? And then she says, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. He comes to a young man named Joseph. Joseph, you can be part of my story, but there will be a cost, yes or no? And after an angelic intervention, eventually Joseph says yes. He comes to a king named Herod. Herod, you can bow down. You can serve a greater king. Yes or no? Herod says no. He comes to the shepherds and the magi. All through his life, everywhere he went, Jesus brings people to a decision. Yes or no? Life or death? To the disciples, to the crowds, to sinners, to religious leaders. Even at the very end of his life, he's hanging on the cross and there's two thieves hanging next to him. One on his right, one on his left. And one guy taunts him and says, no, I don't want you. I don't need you. I close my life off to you. The thief on the other side says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Yes, Jesus, yes. And Jesus says, this day you'll be with me. Jesus still does this all around the world. No other figure in history has ever been this way. Not Caesar, not Shakespeare, not Lincoln, not Gandhi. There's something about Jesus that calls us to decide yes or no. And here's where it gets personal this Christmas Eve. This is the most important part of your Christmas celebration right here. It's not the food. It's not the parties. It's not the people. It's not the music. It's right here. And here it is. Is there a yes or no in your heart toward Jesus today? Let me put it like this. God says yes to you. All of his promises to you are yes in Christ Jesus. But will you say yes to God? Maybe your yes looks like this. Maybe you're kind of in spiritual searching mode right now. Maybe you don't know very much about Jesus, very much about the Bible. Maybe you've not been to a church hardly, if ever at all. And if you did go, it wasn't helpful. It was kind of confusing. Maybe you've kind of put Jesus on the back burner. So maybe your yes looks like this. Maybe your yes says, you know what? I'm going to take Jesus off the back burner. I'm going to get serious about my soul and about my spiritual life this coming year. I've been paying a lot of attention to my work, my career, relationships. But this year, God, I want to learn about you. I want to connect with the church. I'm going to get a Bible. I'm going to get into a group with some people. I'm going to stop being passive and become a learner so I can decide about Jesus. If that describes you, then make that your yes to God. Let me just say this. We're starting a new message series here at Journey the first weekend of January, and it's called Living Your Divine Adventure. And we're going to be talking about making choices and embracing uncertainty that we all live with and taking risk and moving forward into that which God has planned for us in the new year. I encourage you to come back and join us at either our Apopka or Mount Dora campus. And let me add one more thought. If you're in seeking mode, if the story of Christmas, of God becoming a baby, and then becoming a man who lived like no one else, who taught like no one else, who died like no one else, who came back from the grave like no one else. If that's even possibly to be remotely true, then that is of maximum importance. Would you agree? If it's not true, it's of minimal importance at best. But one thing it can never be is of medium importance. Maybe you understand about Jesus and you've never made a commitment to him. Maybe you've put it off. Maybe you've been resisting for one reason or another, and God invites you to say yes to him. And it would go something like this. God, I want to decide. I want that forgiveness and hope and peace in my life. I'm not going to run from you anymore. I'm not going to try to earn it. I'm going to receive it as a gift that you intended through Jesus. I want Jesus to be the forgiver and leader of my life. Man, what a great time to say yes, if that describes you. You can do that right now. Maybe you made a commitment to Christ some time ago, but your sense is he wants to teach you something new in this coming year because God is always up to something new. He wants you to grow. He wants you to learn. He wants you to serve. He wants you to give in some way that's going to be a new adventure for you. We like to say it like this at Journey. There's always a next step when you're following Jesus. Maybe it's been a while since you've been on an adventure like that for whatever reason. And your yes today would be, God, I open my heart to you. Whatever you want, wherever you lead, your will be done. I'll give you a submitted heart every day as you help me today and in this coming year. And I want to say this as I close. When you get tired and when you get discouraged, when you get afraid, when you feel guilty, and you will, I want you to remember on December 24th, 2015, the year of our Lord, that I realized God has a heart for me that says yes. And in the name of Jesus, I say yes to him. Would you bow your heads and pray with me right now? For just a moment, whatever's on your heart, would you just let him know? And let me just lead us right now. God, thank you that 2015 years ago in a little town of Bethlehem, heaven came to the real world. Not just a man, not just a system, not just a philosophy, not just another religion, but heaven came to earth. Up there, came down here. Thank you that in Jesus, you still come to us right here, right now. Thank you that you say yes to us. Help that yes to get born inside every one of us, God. And teach us the power that comes when we say yes to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And we all agreed and said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. All God's promises are yes in Christ Jesus with lead pastor John Hampton. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.